Great Saturday morning, a sunny 70 degrees on this third day of August. And welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence, of course, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center, located right there at the corner of Newham and 12th. And joining us in the studio is Andy Waddell.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Nice morning.
Beautiful outside.
Yeah, nice to have a little cooler and good working weather without the rains.
That's right. Nothing like it was last year that we were just sweating away in that heat. But, yeah, this is very refreshing. And
yes.
Yeah, all kinds of activities happening in and around Kalamazoo. So it's a beautiful weekend to get out and about. And,
of course,
before you get to all that, well, maybe there's a few things we can do in the garden first.
You bet. We'd love to start everybody with some timely tips. And,
right.
You know, this weather might not be beach weather, Tim.
No, well, only if you're a very hardy soul, I suppose.
But it is gardening weather. So, you know what? Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful morning God made us. Thanks for joining me and Tim and WKZO this morning. I'd just like to walk and talk with you this morning on maybe some of the highs and lows in the yard this week. Some of the plants that look awesome this week as I stroll the yard, and I'll tell you, first of all, I just can't wait to bite into a Red Haven peach. One of the trees is just thriving in our yard, and it's going to be one of my first highlights. Now, how unsightly at the moment the tree looks, because it is so overburdened with fruit. From the stress of the last summer, the plant decided to flower very heavy, then heavy early bear of a harvest, and even though I picked off a couple hundred small little peaches, the tree has all bent over all the way to the ground, every branch to the ground with the weight of the balance of the crop, which I still think is probably at least, I don't know, 300 to 500 to 1,000 peaches still left on the tree. Really looking forward to harvest the peaches so we can get the poor tree off the ground. I hope I did not ruin it. Supported it with a 2x6s, trying to get some of the weight off the ground. Took a whole bunch more of the fruit and threw it away the other night just to get the weight off it. But there also is a Reliance peach in the yard that is not near the fruit load of the other tree. And I think sometimes one tree gets a little more frost than the other tree. The Reliance is not as early of a bear as Red Haven, so I probably think it got a later frost, which doesn't have many peaches, but you know what? I couldn't wait. I still ate a hard peach last night, pulled one off, and probably still a week away, but yum, I can just see peaches and ice cream coming up. The next stop in our highlight tour of the yard this week was our perennial and rose bed that we have a combination of home run roses interspersed with hardy hibiscus. A few years ago, I just decided I could not get all the maintenance done on roses. And I love roses. My grandfather, when he lived on Woodmont and Portage, probably had a garden that had nearly 75 to 100 roses. I remember taking care of them. And I'll tell you what, that was the highlight of the yard and the whole neighborhood, everybody coming over. The connoisseur rose takes a lot of time. That grandiflora or floribunda is a lot more work. So we decided to go ahead and introduce shrub roses in there. So I have home run and knockouts and some Oso Easies mixed in with some hardy hibiscus. I pulled out some of the varieties of roses that I just couldn't get to stay healthy and stuck in some hardy hibiscus. And I'll be darned, what a combination. The cherry rose red on the home run rose next to the real bright purple flower of one of the Oso Easies next to the deep wine red of the hardy hibiscus. Mixed in a little bed with some morning glories on a telephone pole, and I've got an old cultivator that I got from a gentleman down on the celery flats years ago. And I didn't touch it. I just kind of put some screws in it so it would hold itself together, stuck that right in the rose garden, and what a nice combination. So I'm asking you today, give me a call. Tell me what your favorite bed is or maybe your landscaping that you've been working on and how you've maybe improved it this year. Maybe something that needs to come out. There's parts of our yard that maybe I stuck plants in a little too close and there's some spots I'm going to be yanking stuff around and transplanting later this year. Well, I'll tell you, going the last couple weeks, visiting many job sites, and I'll tell you, this spring and summer, just like Tim said, we've had great, substantial amount of rains, nice, cool weather, which we really so desperately needed. Last summer was very hard for anybody to even work outside. You get 95 or 100 degrees, and everybody's thinking, survival? How quick can I get on the AC? And how quick can I stay inside? And how quick can I get in the water? So, but you know what? Some folks, really the water and the excess of moisture has become an issue at the house or the business. On top of that, excessive irrigation can compound the problem. So is there a soggy spot in your yard? Or there is some moisture in your basement? Or are there plants drowning from all of the above? Does the water run off the yard instead of soaking in like it should? I think a couple weeks ago I might have mentioned that I had went to a church in town recently where the mower avoided an area in their yard because it got stuck because it was so wet all the time. After viewing how wet it was, squish, 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 the water and the mud pouring over the top of my boots as I walked around in the yard, sure enough, the irrigation came on. Nobody had even noticed how wet it was, and they're irrigating on a very wet day that had just rained. The ground was so stenchy or swampy, it had so much trapped water. Meanwhile, all the plants that the church had called me to come look at because they were all dying to see what was wrong with them in the memorial garden. Nothing worse than having a tree die for a memorial. And I knew without even checking that they were all drowning. I leaned on the first crab apple that was dead. I pushed it right over. The roots had rotted right off. Their 2 to 3 inch caliper trunk. I shouldn't even be able to push that tree over and snapped it right at the ground. The sidewalks surrounding the area were creating dams. So the trapped water and the iron rust from the water had stains flowing over the sidewalks and down the parking lot, leaving a red rust stain everywhere. They had almost given up. The memorial garden was placed in the back for people that it was important for people to come and visit, whether it be families, friends, neighbors that had provided a tree or a shrub or an evergreen in this spot. And one after the other, they were all losing. Our solution will be like I met the gal, and like I said, she told me, why fight this area any longer, Andy? She said, we had just had enough of this spot. And I said, well, 3 years ago, when I had planted one of these trees, I had actually suggested to do a rain garden, or in this case, a water runoff garden. So I found actually a source of water. The water was actually, part of the issue was the two very large AC units, air conditioner AC units, draining excessive water right out into the yard. Then obviously, with the excessive irrigation, the water standing there couldn't be released because of all the excess of sidewalks and all the damming that it created. So we've decided to create a drainage trench. Wrap the trench in silt barrier or weed barrier. With that reed barrier, we're going to actually create a sandwich with some 3 to 8 inch riprap or heavy, large, oversized rock, very large river rock, put it that way, small boulders. The riprap would provide good drainage. We'd set the weed barrier down in the trench, and I was going to put in 4 inch socked drain tile and set that in along the trench. With a site, we would start at the high end and work down and make that so it would flow into a French drain underneath the wet area where the mower had gotten stuck. The 4-inch drain tiles would then run into the French drain and at least provide some relief for that area. And then we were going to bury it, wrap it all with that silt or weed barrier, and then actually create a rain swale. We're going to take that 3 to 8 inch riprap, mix it with some river rock, mix it with some 10 to 18 inch boulders, mix it with a few 2 to 3 foot sitting rocks mixed in there, and create a natural area. Combination, then we stuck in a lot of plant material that would like the wet feet, that that would actually take up some of that moisture and relieve some of that area. Number two, then, we're going to take out all of the plants that were drowning, lift them all up, the ones that were alive that were struggling, provide French drains under there. So we're going to, instead of cutting a hole in the ground to set that plant down in, we'd cut that same hole but put post hole dig holes on either side of the bottom of the plant hole. Once we dug some trenches, maybe 30 inches down, we'd fill them full of riprap so at least that plant has a spot to drain that water away. Then every single plant is going to be replanted about 15 to 20% out of the ground, bowling and getting the neck or the crown out of that swampy or that wet area. I told you about the crab that I leaned over and pushed on, and it snapped right off. Well, I went over at a dogwood, and it was a clump-formed dogwood, and I was ready to pull that and snap it right off. It just broke right off. It was rotted right in the ground. So a lot of times there's issues that you don't see. Irrigation's making lawn look really nice. Weather and excess of moisture that we've really had has been a positive, but sometimes there are some wet areas that I'm just trying to help you with. So there's just some ideas with maybe creating a little rain garden. And when we come back, we got a lot of other things on our journal that I'd love to help you with today.
All right, sounds good. And, of course, if you have a comment or question for Andy this morning, 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on 590 WKZO.
The unusual weather has brought on an array of lawn diseases in southwest Michigan. Lawns can be wiped out fast this time of year by fungus diseases like dollar spot, brown patch, fusarium blight, and red thread. Scott's Lawn Fungus Control from Waddell's Garden Center is the surest way to take care of the most common lawn diseases, including those toughies that cause brown spots on your lawn in the summertime. It's easy to use, too. There's nothing to mix or measure. Just pour it in a Scott spreader and apply it to the lawn. Now's the time when fungus diseases are starting to hit, but you can protect your lawn with Scott's Lawn Fungus Control. On sale this week at Waddell's for just $17.99 for the bag that covers 5,000 square feet. Another way to help your lawn is to make sure it has its summer meal. Now's the time to apply your Scott's Step 3 or Scott's Super Turf Builder lawn food. If you've got questions about what your lawn needs, the lawn pros at Waddell's would be glad to help diagnose it. Just bring in a 6x6-inch sod sample and they'll prescribe what you need to give your lawn that winning look. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
590 WKZO, we continue with this morning's edition of Over the Garden Fence. Andy Waddell joining us in the studio. You can be a part of the program as well if you have a comment or question. 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. Head right to the phones, Andy, if that's okay with you. Join up with Jan calling in from Kalamazoo.
You bet. Good morning, Jan. How are you today?
I hope I'll be better after I talk to you.
How can I be of help, Jan?
Well, I'm having trouble with my tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
First, I had the blight,
mm-hmm.
which somebody has said, not you, that I should just put some lime in the soil.
Okay.
And when I was growing them in the garden, that seemed to work. But now most of my plants, unfortunately, have to be in pots.
Mm-hmm.
The garden's too far away to get to all the time.
Now, Jan, what did they say lime was going to do for the tomato?
This is me that I read somewhere, and one year it worked.
Okay.
But this year it hasn't.
That's all right. Now, lime probably had some effect, but if anything, I would maybe use calcium instead of lime.
Okay,
calcium is usually the deficiency that's in a tomato. And whether it be blossom end rot, you know, with the tomato curling under and have
that's what I've had before. Mm-hmm. I've never had the yellow leaves.
Yep. Almost every time that is a calcium deficiency. And actually, you can either put on calcium or, Jan, there is something called blossom end rot spray. There's a blossom end rot that's a calcium ready to use that you can spray right on the plant.
Okay.
The concept is So the yellow leaves you really don't have. You do have. Okay, so then I would probably, the calcium's not going to rid that. It'll help on the tomato itself. But can I ask a couple questions on those tomatoes? You said they were in pots or in the ground. Is there mulch so when you are watering, the roots, the water doesn't splash up onto the leaves?
No, because I do it by hand.
Okay, good, good. The concept is when there's splash, a lot of times you can move fungus around a plant. You could do a Fertilome broad spectrum fungicide. That would work on it very easy. I'd want to do it like we've had cool mornings, and so you could do something like that very easy on that plant. We got an Agrifrost broad spectrum too that would work on that. But my first thing is, Jan, peel off all those underside leaves.
My gosh, I'm going to strip it.
Okay, and then I would probably try some calcium. Okay. And then also, tomatoes are totally an annual. You know, in 90 days, they're going to be done. So feed them hard, and then I might do a little pruning. Clean out that those yellow leaves, maybe clean out some of that understory that the plant can breathe and sunlight can get in better. That spray is something that you can put on the plant and no problem on eating the plant. And then try that calcium. That calcium will surely help with the curling or the twisting of the fruit itself. And a lot of times it's not all necessarily the twist, Jan, or the contortion on it. It's just the black ring that's around where the stem meets the fruit.
Okay, now second question about tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I have one plant that's just beautiful, has no blight, and it's in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I should see in one tomato on this beautiful plant, and I look, and we've been watching it, and the blossoms are very small, and then they never seem to go into tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. And Jan, some of that's somewhat normal. Immature or new flower sometimes has a chance to just grow, pollinate, and be spent, and that probably once that plant gets a little more vigor, my thoughts are there is a dessert for tomatoes, and it's a 9-59-8. It is called Root and Bloom. And what I might suggest is putting something, now that you've got the plant, the one that's in the ground, Jan, that's got some size, it's starting to take off on you, you don't need much nitrogen, but the middle number is going to make those tomatoes start producing. Number two, Jan, it's been a little cool, and tomatoes love heat. And I think once we'll get through some of this.
Well, there's one right by it that's huge tomatoes. I happened to get one of your grafted.
Oh, yeah, Mighty Mato. Mm-hmm.
And that is doing some suspendus.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Very well.
You got to figure on that, Jan, they have put a lot of work into that hybridizing. And so that upper and lower portion of that graft of the tomato is meant for hardy, vigor, lots of production, and that's where there's a little more cost into the grafted.
That's the reason I only have one.
Yeah, but it's I think they're worth it. So try that Root and Bloom. That 9-59-8 would really help out in that
9-59-8.
Yep, it is Root and Bloom made by Fertilome. It's just a little can, and it would be wonderful for tomatoes or peppers, something that's really have plenty of foliage, but not a lot of fruit yet.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Hey, Jan, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you very much for the call, Jan. We'll take more of your calls coming up in just a little bit as we'll take care of some news here at the bottom of the hour. And then we'll continue on with your calls and your host, Andy Waddell, over the garden fence on 590 WKZO. Looking at the temperature to top out at 78 degrees with plenty of sunshine today. We have that right now this morning, 71 in Kalamazoo.
I'll bet you've noticed some of the beautiful garden walls and walkways around town. Many of these eye-catching walls, patios, columns, paths, and steps are built with Atlas Block from Waddell's Garden Center. Atlas Block is the homeowner-friendly block system that you can use to build perennial beds, grill surrounds, patios, garden walls, and beautiful walkways. This week, all Atlas Block in stock at Waddell's is 25% off. Atlas Block pavers come in 3 different sizes and 6 different colors, giving you an endless number of ways to get the unique look you want. For a double-sided wall project, check out the Courtyard Blocks. The Courtyard system allows you to build a great privacy wall or an outdoor kitchen area. There are many wall block ideas on display at Waddell's. You'll see how easy it is to make straight lines, curves, corners, and steps with the professional old-world look of Atlas Blocks. And this week, all Atlas Block is 25% off. Visit with the knowledgeable people at Waddell's who can help you design your new eye-catching walkway, patio, or driveway that will be the envy of the neighborhood. Woodell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Mill and 12th Street.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
I know exactly what's happening minute by minute. I'm not worried.
Still, there's a U.S. travel alert worldwide. Security expert Manny Gomez says in Muslim countries,
most prudent course would be not to travel to these places at this given time. If you have to travel, if you're already there, try to stay away from any American-owned or American organizations.
Communication between two senior al-Qaeda operatives indicates they're planning an attack. KNX Margaret Carrasco.
U.S. officials going as far as to close embassies and consulates this Sunday in several Mideast and African countries. The State Department is reminding Americans to be mindful of their surroundings, especially near tourist areas, public transportation, and they recommend they register their travel plans.
Terror analyst Joel Rubin.
This embassy closure is significant. We have not seen a level of embassy closure like this for some time.
22 facilities set to shut down tomorrow. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
Kent County prosecutors are not moving forward on allegations that a 16-year-old Hope Academy student was sexually assaulted. The parents are suing the school and the police for not protecting the girl, reported to be developmentally disabled. She was allegedly raped by several men after walking away from school in January last year. County prosecutors say that's not enough evidence. The Lake County Sheriff's Department's investigating the drowning death of two young brothers in a farm pond north of Grand Rapids. The victims were ages 6 and 9. Authorities say they don't believe the boys intended to go swimming, since both of them were found with their clothes on. The boys' parents discovered their bodies in the pond near their home after noticing the brothers were missing. The preliminary finding is that the drownings were accidental. And Grand Valley State University is the winner of a national award for a recruitment video called I'm on a Boat. The comedy sketch, which parodies a Saturday Night Live skit, won the school the 2013 Circle of Excellence Award from the Council for Advancement and Support of Education. It was written and produced by students and alumni. In the WKZO.com newsroom, I'm Andrew Green.
WKZO.com, AccuWeather Forecast.
A bit of fog this morning, then sunshine and patchy clouds today with a high of 78 this afternoon. Tonight, mainly clear and cooler, low 53. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and nice, high 75. Partly sunny and nice again for your Monday with a high of 76 degrees to begin the work week. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dan DePodwin.
Get AccuWeather anytime at WKZO.com.
When is the perfect time to plant top-quality landscape plants from Woodell's? Now! Want to know why? Number one, with all the moisture in the soil, plants will have less transplant shock. Number two, it's great weather. It's that perfect time of year when it's not too hot and not too cold. Number three, fresh plants are arriving daily. The selection can't be beat. And number four, the prices are great. All of your flowering shrub favorites are on sale. Woodell's Nursery is packed with beautiful shrubs that will add color and interest your outdoor living area. And this week, Woodell's has a special deal for you. Buy three shrubs, get one free. That's right. Choose from blooming hydrangea shrubs, viburnum, weigela, rhododendrons, and over a dozen more exceptional shrub varieties. Want something to attract butterflies? Butterfly bushes come in a wide variety of sizes and colors. Spirea shrubs are just coming into bloom. And check out the gorgeous blooming hydrangea shrubs. Stroll through Woodell's Nursery to choose the shrubs you like best. And as always, Woodell's certified green industry professionals will be glad to advise you which plants would do best in your situation. Woodell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
WKZO as we continue with this morning's edition of Over the Garden Fence. Andy Woodell joining us in the studio. Take your calls, comments, and questions. 382-4280, 1-877, 382-4280.
You bet. And thank you, everybody, for listening in this morning. And I bet a lot of you got tomato problems. Jan is probably not alone. So I wanted to invite you this morning. We've kind of skipped over that. You know, we've been doing a lot of upcoming events at Woodell's, and this summer we have a summer seminar series. And so today at 10 o'clock, we have two seminars today. The first one's at 10, and it is first one's called Too Many Herbs, No Such Thing. You learn how to dry herbs, freeze them, and how to use them in healthy ways with Dawn Farrell. And then at 11:15, we have a rock painting class. Choose from different sizes of rocks and learn how to do fun little designs, paint them, and with our designer Sherry Nielsen. She put a little kit together, Tim, the other day that was like just a clay pot. And yeah, maybe it's a a plant or a flower that you like, but sometimes you don't have that spot, right, and you can't, you know, sometimes people say I'm brown thumbers, like you. I'm just kidding, Tim. We've been told Tim doesn't have any plants at his house. But,
no.
But they put Mexican beach pebble stones upright in sand, made them look like cactus, painted them green, then put little white dots all over them at different heights, buried them in sand, and made a little cactus garden that was man-made, but...
Hey, nonetheless.
You got it. Wouldn't have to water it, weed it, take care of it.
I love it.
And it don't die.
I love it.
So we're just inviting you down. They're fun. The rock painting class is supplies anywhere from $5 to $15, ages 10 and up. And we'd love to have you at the 10 or the 11 o'clock. 11:15 talks this morning. So I just wanted to go through some more things this morning. And there is a lot on the journal. With this cool weather and with this wet, I seen it this week in the yard, seen it last week too, is the crabgrass that's really starting to go to seed. I have approximately, Daniel and I have about 2 acres of grass, give or take, so I don't quite buy quite enough crabgrass control, and I'll tell you, right where the Scott's crabgrass control started is where the crabgrass control is, or the crabgrass is. So use Fertiloam Weed Out with Q. It is a product that will work very good on crabgrass control. And if you get that out of there, then the bluegrass has a chance, or the rye has a chance to take right off. Be a lookout on lawn disease. Been seeing a lot of brown patch, dollar spot, red thread, stripe smut. Almost looks like residue all over the leaves, and many other leaf diseases in the lawn with the cool, wet weather that we've been having. So we either suggest using F-stop, like Frank, F-stop, or Scott's Longest Lawn Fungus Control, or the Fertiloam Liquid Systemic Fungicide. Any one of those would work. Do it now instead of mowing a lot of those diseases and spreading them through the yard. Was at my best friend's parents the other day, and he had had a lawn put in, and the grass that was put in was fairly inexpensive. Therefore, when the mix came into the homeowner's yard, had a lot of fescues. Full sun and fescues just don't blend. He has nothing but red thread problems year in and year out, and the red thread moves around, and as soon as you can help control it, get a fertilizer on there, too, at the same time, and it'll grow out of that with the F-stop or the Fertiloam Liquid Systemic. This week, Marilyn and I were out in the parking lot, and our grounds manager, Marilyn Brew, does a wonderful job, and we're showing me the cicada killer bees are out again. They are large, black-brown wasp-looking bees with yellow stripes on their back. They are generally good bees and generally harmless, and they really can be pests because they build their nests in the ground, often around decks, sidewalks, and driveways. We have a lot of sand out in our parking lot and a lot of perennials. So between the sidewalks, they drill right in. So we're suggesting using 38 plus as a soil drench. Mid to late August is actually one of your best times to overseed the lawn. Waddell's is going to be taking part of repairing our own lawn. When we had our roundabout put in a couple seasons ago, what our lawn looked like and what the new lawn was put in next to the sidewalk looks terrible. Not even the same look. Putting in, I think they put in a lot of clay and just a lot of gravel, and then put overseeding on top of that. We're going to be yanking that all up. Do the same. If you have an issue, now is the time to think about it. Mid to late August, you're going to have plenty of time for it to root in August, then in September, then to get dormant for the winter season. So talk to the lawn doctors at Waddell's on the best way to prepare your lawn for seeding. If you have a question on a lawn, we'd suggest, I've said it tons of times, take a shoebox, take a little box, cut out a 6-inch square, get us enough depth on the roots so we can see what is happening to the root structure. We can see if you have a thatch issue, and we can actually write up a little RX program for you on what to do. Be sure to fertilize the garden right now. heavy rains have really washed out a lot of early feedings, and your veggies would actually love a little espoma or garden tone to help with the fruiting. I was just suggesting to Jan earlier on the tomatoes themselves, they would love the root and bloom. It is made by Fertilome. It's a little blue granular that mixes with water, but tomatoes, peppers, hydrangea, absolutely love it. The hydrangea, we call that almost dessert for them. Very high in a middle number, makes a very good blooming opportunities for stuff that is having a challenge. If you were hit by the storms in the last couple weeks, be sure to clean up all your debris. Check your tree for damage. We mentioned that last week. I've been at a job site for probably 2 weeks now. The trees are still sitting in the yard that were torn over. The problem is, it's the neighbor's tree that fell into her yard, so it's a very touchy issue. So far, the homeowner hasn't even come out, and our client is waiting for that homeowner to get it cleaned up. Torn limbs are a great spot to collect moisture and insects that can result from further damage. This week, we're looking at a large Norway maple. The tree had a lot of punky, old, rotted wood in the center. Client was concerned that within the next 5 to 10 years, they were going to be moving out of the home. What do I do? I've got a beautiful tree that is all rotting, but if I tear it out, put in another tree, I've got at least a couple $1,000 into removing the tree. And then it's our back patio, which has been very established by shade, so we'd want something back in, which would cost us a lot. What do you suggest? So my first thoughts were to get rid of all the punky wood. So if you guys have any existing trees that have that, get out a screwdriver, get out a wire brush, get out a small saw, clean out anything that is not alive. Dead wood in the center of the tree is just going to make for more rot. Go ahead and clean that all out and find the new wound, even if you've made a cavity. Once that cavity is cleaned out, then go ahead and do your tree wound dressing. Don't fill the cavity. Somebody packed a cavity full of rocks and concrete and then chicken wired it and then put the tar over it. You guys all know what happens with concrete. It just absorbs moisture. The tree ended up not making it. Talked about a few minutes ago with the blossom end rot. So just make sure calcium is the lack in the soil. So we got the Fertilome Yield Booster that will help stop and prevent this from happening. The blossom end rot is a great way to help take care of that. Also, be sure to keep an eye on the plants, as the hot weather we experienced the last couple weeks has also increased the chances for fungal disease. So if you have a question on it, bring in a sample. Sometimes we leave just itty-bitty little samples, Tim. Mm-hmm. Somebody brought in just like a chunk of a leg of a bug. You gotta bring in a decent sample. So, you know, bring in a couple of them so we can look at
it. Okay.
So, that's just some ideas on our journal, getting people started for this morning.
All righty, sounds good. And we'll pick up where we left off next Saturday morning, same time.
I'm sorry, it went really fast today. Sorry.
I know, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, thank you all.
All right, thank you very much, Andy. We'll catch up with you again next Saturday morning, same time, 9 o'clock hour, right after the news on 590 WKZO. Sunshine on this Saturday morning, 78 degrees. The expected high, 72 right now in Kalamazoo, falling back down to a low of 53 for tonight. WKZO time, 9:45. Ron Weiser, financial planner, 590 WKZO.